Well, I bet some of you expected it to be warm this morning. I knew last Sunday I would probably have the privilege of getting to speak today. And I thought to myself, Brother June, it's so cold in here today that no one's going to go to sleep. So I thought, what's going to happen next week if the heat is on? And I thought, dear God, keep the heat off one more week. He answered my prayer. So you can blame me. I hope not. I'd like for us to read together from James and 1 John, if you'll stand with me, please. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. And so James reads this way, verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And then 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are for this reason. The world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we should be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Let's have a word of prayer together, please. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank You, Father, for giving to us Your Holy Spirit. I pray, dear Lord, that You would just enable me to share Your word in such a way that it can be heard and received, and, Father, that it would apply to our hearts and lives, because it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we sang just a minute ago, God is good. And we sing that very joyfully. I compliment you, this church, in singing it like we believe it, like we mean it. We know that God is good because the Bible says that God is good. Amen. So why do you believe God is good? Why do you believe God is good? Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been asked that question and you had to write it out? Bob asked me to have a response. And I started thinking. And I thought, why do I think God is good? I mean, some cruddy stuff has happened in my life. Is God good? You know? And then I got to thinking, my word. God has forgiven me. When I have asked for forgiveness, God has forgiven me. That means God is good. And God was gracious enough to give me a love for nature. And I love plants, and I love animals, and I love things that are just of nature. And to me, that's a gift. God is good. through some of the things that have happened in our lives and in my life, you know, I have got to the point that I would have to come to the point and say, does God really exist? Is he real? This was as a believer. Is God real? Life hurts so much, and he's allowing this. Is God real? He carried me through it. And he left me with the assurance that he is real, he is good. Shirley, who was in our Sunday school class this morning, bless her heart, she practically taught our class with the experience that she had with Jesus this week. And you know, when we get to the point, now for her, it may not have been for forgiveness, but for me, after being on my knees asking for forgiveness, and I would feel forgiven. God is good. I urge you, God's word says he's good. But first you have to believe that there is a God and that he is a God who loves you. You know, sometimes we get our cart before the horse and we just, even as Christians, we forget, especially when things hurt. I challenge you to get a pencil and paper and begin to write out, is God good to you? Do you know that God is good? What if we were like Job and lost so much, lost everything, just almost everything? And still he said, though you slay me, I will trust in you. Try it. God is good.
Why do you believe God is good?
I believe that God is good because he sent his only son to accept and receive and dismiss all of my sins that I can be able to be in heaven praising God all the time. I believe God is good because he gave me a wonderful, loving life that has saved me. And without that, I would be outside and lost. I believe and I thank you for everything he gives me.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Now, why do you believe God is good? The Bible says that God is good. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, and it's sort of starting in the middle of the sentence in my Bible, but it says, in unison when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, he indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And then over in Psalms chapter 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, you can go on and find several other verses that say nearly the same thing. It's cool in here, so my nose is running. So, you forgive me when I wipe and we'll keep going. Not everyone has grown up in a Christian home. Not everyone who is living on this earth has had any kind of a Christian background, and so about 90% of the people of the world have never been exposed to the truth of God, to the wonderful message that the Bible says about God, saying that God is good. They don't know that. And so many people believe today that Christians and God, the people that are Christians and believe in God, they think that that is all a fraud. It's not the truth. And nothing that Christian people say is relevant. Now think about that for a moment. 90% of the world think that because they don't know the truth. They've never been exposed. They've never had the opportunity to know who God is. And from our Sunday school lesson this morning, we have the privilege of sharing with them the truth. The Great Commission. If you were in Sunday school, you heard it and you know it. And it also talked about the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is just someone who represents another person, another government. Our ambassadors to the United Nations, to France, to England, to wherever it might be, they are our representative that are supposed to be representing the president and our nation. And so if you're an ambassador for Christ, you're representing Christ and who he is. Now, that really is a privilege. We sometimes think, oh, do I have to tell them about Jesus? Listen, that's a privilege. It is not something bad. So we think about it and we say, God is good. And there was a young lady that was in a church service several years ago now, and she heard the preacher preaching. He preached an evangelistic message and was trying to encourage people to come to know the Lord as their Savior. And her sister had gotten her to attend that church service. Her sister was a Christian lady, and this one had never known about Christ, never thought about Christ, never gave God a thought. But in the process of the message, the preacher happened to be one of those long-winded Baptist preachers. And she, at the end of the service, this was back when preachers would stand by the back door or whatever door people primarily use leaving. He was standing there and people were coming by and greeting him. And she came by and started saying, "You've been preaching to me for an hour and a half, trying to get me to accept your Jesus. What would I have if I had accepted your Jesus? Would my bills be paid? Would I have a two-car garage with two cars in it? Would I get the police off my neck?" And she was obviously anti-Christian and anti-Jesus. And the preacher said, "Now, young lady, why don't you sit over here for just a minute, and I'll be glad to share with you and tell you what you would have if you had Jesus." And surprisingly, she did sit down and waited till he finished shaking everybody's hand. And once he got finished, he went over there and he said, "Young lady, I cannot promise you a big bank account. I cannot promise you a two-car garage. I cannot promise you nice homes. And then he said, God has not always given me those things. But what I can promise you is this. And he began to list some things. And he said, the first thing I can promise you is peace. And she said, what do you mean? And he commenced, and I'm going to share some things with you that God promises to those of us who know him as our Lord and Savior. God is good because he gives us peace. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus. Now, beloved, you may be wondering, why do I need to be at peace? I didn't know I was at war. Well, the Bible says a little further down in chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then it continues, and he says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. See, somehow people do not always understand and people do not always realize that because of the sin that is in our life, because that's contrary to God and who he is and what he stands for, we became enemies of God when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And every man and woman has been an enemy of God since then that don't get right, aren't reconciled, as our Sunday school lesson talked about, aren't made in an agreeable and in a positive relationship with the Lord. We were enemies of God. And so he just simply says, hey, I will give you peace. Now, do you always have peace in your home? Husbands, wives, children, that puts us all in somebody's home at some time. We sometimes have conflict with one another. Thank you. See, one day, Carolyn and I were having a family discussion. Now, I call it a discussion. Some people say an argument, just to make sure we're communicating. I had accused Carolyn of doing something, saying something that she did not do. But I believe she had. And we had a discussion about it. And lo and behold, it got sort of loud. I know nothing like that ever happened at your house, but it did at ours. Our peace was interrupted. And in a while, Carolyn heard Cassie come in the house. Cassie had been there earlier in the day and had gone shopping and done something. And she knew that Cassie knew what had gone on about our discussion. And so she said, Cassie, come here. Cassie did, I do such and such. No, Mom, you did whatever it was that she had done, and she proved that I was wrong. I'm never wrong. At least I like to think that. And I had to say to Carolyn, "Carolyn, I'm sorry for having accused you of doing that. Would you please forgive me?" And she did. She forgave me. And see, it is an awful, awful thing not to be at peace with the one who is cooking your food. And so peace was restored when I admitted that I was wrong. When I admit to God that I was wrong for having done some of the things that I've done, it puts me at peace with God. And He forgives me. God is good to give me peace. James 1:17 says, every good gift, every good thing comes from above. It comes from the Father with whom there's no shadow of turning at all. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever got a good gift? Has anything good ever happened to you? Now, beloved, if you haven't had something good given to you or happened to you, then you've missed out on life. Every good thing that you have is given from God. He didn't say it comes from your kids, but if your kids say something, do something good for you to their mom or to their dad, lo and behold, God's involved in it. Jeremy, our son, came home from college one time and he said, "I need to tell y'all something. You were right. Hey, when kids get to be teenagers, there's not much that parents do that are right." And, hey, that was a good gift. And God was just saying, hey, y'all did something right with your kiddos. And you have to stop and say, thank you, Lord. You've opened some blind eyes. God is good because of His provisions. God's provisions. I've discovered some things in my own personal life. I hope you've discovered some things good as well. And that is, I am not able to handle everything that happens in life. I'm not always able to handle everything that happens in our household. You know, some of the things in the house breaks. I need someone who knows what they're doing to fix it because I can't. I'm not sufficient in myself. I have discovered there's times that I need God's help. And He provides good things. The Bible says over in Psalms 23 in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God's good. See, there's provisions that He makes for us. I sometimes like to watch that TV program, Life Below Zero. It's about people that live in Alaska, if you hadn't seen it, but I watch that and I sort of enjoy watching it. But some of those folks, they like to think of themselves as being sufficient to live in that cold climate, to be able to do things for themselves. And they get to talking about, man, I fixed this and I fixed that. I can cut down these trees and build my house and I can do this. And I get my food. And So I don't have to go to the grocery store. I just go out into nature and I get my food. And it dawned on me one day. You know, they're cutting down those trees with a saw. Where'd they get that saw? Well, they bought it somewhere. A lot of them have chainsaws. I don't know about you, but I couldn't start to put a chainsaw together and have, even if everything, if I just had all the parts laid out on the table, I'm not sure that I could put it together right. They were not sufficient. They had to have somebody that put that thing together and made all the parts and everything else. They can't make all those parts. They needed somebody. I need some help once in a while. I need God to help me. Isn't it wonderful when you stop and realize that things that are just wonderful and fantastic and they work. It's sometimes you think, man, I don't know how that's possible, but it's possible because somebody else did it for you. And there's times in my life that God comes along and he says, here, let me help you. I can fix that. I can fix that relationship. Thank you, Lord. If it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus, I wouldn't be married today. She would have left me, or I would have left her in a huff, in an angry fit. But God somehow worked a miracle, and lo and behold, we've been married 53 years. Hey, that's a miracle of God. Do I deserve it? No. But God does things for us even when we don't deserve it. We haven't worked for it. We haven't earned it. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. He sends rain on those who are good folks, and he sends rain on those who are just as sorry as dirt. I qualify. And God does it. John chapter 14, I'm about to get ahead of myself or behind or something. John chapter 14, verse 16 and following. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, some Bibles read, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because the world does not know him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit of God without Jesus coming into their heart and life. The world doesn't understand. They don't know. But I have a helper. Someone who provides for me some things that I need. And so he just simply says, and he will be with you, and abide with you, and he will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus was talking to the apostles, to the disciples, and this is that occasion when he's telling them and has told them that he's about to leave them, that he's fixing to die on the cross. And boy, they're disturbed. They're upset. And Jesus says, oh, but you don't understand. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who is exactly like me. He thinks the way I think. He talks the way I talk. He will do everything that I would do. He's going to help you. Yes, sir. And he'll never leave you. Oh, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Some brothers don't stick very close. Do you have a brother? Some of you had a brother. Some brothers are really good. And then there's others. Amen. I need a guide once in a while. Carolyn and I and some friends of ours we went to California, to San Francisco, and you know those movies that they show you where these cars are going down what I call thrill hills? I mean, those hills are almost straight up and down, and you're having to drive through there. Carolyn was driving. She loved it. She just won't admit it. And we were basically lost. You ever been lost in San Francisco? You're going up and down thrill hills. You know those movies where those car races are those cars go over the hill and it looks like they go halfway to the bottom before they ever hit ground again. We thought our car was going to flip over backwards. That's how steep they are. And we needed some help. We had a friend. He was on the cell phone. He was looking at a map and he said, you need to turn left and then go straight and turn right and all the things that it took to get us to their house. We were going to see these friends. Boy, if we hadn't had a guide, we hadn't had someone to give us some instructions on where to go and how to go. And sometimes in life, we're just as lost as we can be. We don't know which way to go. And the Holy Spirit of God guides us and he says, this is what you need to do. Follow me and you'll get where you want to be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so he is good because he provides for us, and then he's good because he accepts us. Now think about that. Have you ever been rejected? Have you been in those places, in those circumstances, as a kid or as an adult, where you recognize and you know that no one wants you on their side? That's hard. You feel rejected, you are rejected, and they come down and to the last two or three people that are being chosen and they say, okay, Bob, come on. Boy, I really feel wanted. And you know, God comes and he accepts us as we are. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 32, everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now, to me that just simply says God's accepted me because I've accepted him. He's just simply saying if we will confess him before others, he will confess us before God who is in heaven. Therefore, I get to be with God and Jesus in heaven. I am accepted. I'm received. It's not based on how good you are, but it's based on his grace and how good he is. Let me illustrate it for you. When I take, for example, my son and his family out to eat, I expect to pay the bill. I expect to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. When we're in the store, we can go to one of those cafeterias where you get to go through the line and say, I want this and I want that and I want some of that over there, and they give it to you or you get it for yourself. And I've been there, and on occasion or two they say, I'll tell the lady at the cash register, give me the bill. Well, how many's in your party? Well, I tell them, and they say, you can stand right there, and when they come by, you tell me, and I'll put them on your tab. Okay. Jeremy will come through, and maybe Tara, his wife, and here comes the kids. Now, understand, I understand, you understand, grandkids, they do not always choose wisely. You understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Sometimes they choose some things that they won't eat at all, but it looks so good, they get some of it. And they'll have their tray loaded over with food. And you know, they've got more on their tray than an adult will have. And they come through there and I say, that's mine, he's mine, they're mine, both of them. And I tell the lady at the cash register, put all of that on my tab. And they do. Well, when I come before the Father and he says, he's mine, and God says, well, look at all that stuff. Look at all that. Jesus says, I paid it all. Put it on my tab. And I thank God that I'm a part. I'm accepted because he accepted me when he died on the cross. I'm accepted. What do you have that's so good? I have it good because God accepted me. He says in John 14:26, same, go back to John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring them to remembrance, all that I said. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a good forgetter. You understand? I don't always remember what I want to remember. Even when I've tried to memorize it, I sometimes forget. But God says my Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to use you. He's going to teach you. He's going to train you. He's going to show you. And he will guide you throughout the whole process. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in us, and he's doing this for us. Amen. Philippians 4:8. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, when you've been having a hard day, things have not always gone well throughout the day, and you're just about, you might as well say, halfway ticked off, upset, angry, and you feel like being mad. I'm mad at June. You know what that rascal did? You know what he said to me? God says, let your mind dwell on that which is right. Let your mind dwell on that which is true. Oh, I got to think about what's true, not the way I necessarily feel. God says, let your mind think about what's true and honest and pure and lovely. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, Let your mind dwell. Not on what upset you, but let your mind dwell. Let your mind think about all the good things. Not the bad things, the good things. Remember that God is good. And somehow it changes your whole attitude. It will change your attitude and you feel like, instead of being mad, you feel like shouting, glory, hallelujah. God is good all the time. Then he gives us an invitation. He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. You ever been tired, not just tired physically, but you're tired emotionally, you're tired mentally, you've been struggling with things, and he says, come unto me when you're struggling, when you've had all these issues going on and you're not sure what you need to do, and I will give you rest. Have you ever needed rest because you're just plain wore out? Emotionally and physically and otherwise. God says, I'll give you some rest. Come to me. Now, we sang it earlier. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I like that song. I'm a part of the family of God. That is a privilege. 1 John 3 talks about the fact that I am his child. Jim is his child. Roger is his child. That means that if I'm a child of Jesus, I'm a child of the King. That makes me a prince. Whew, I never thought of myself as a prince. That means Alberta and Carol and whoever you are, that means you're a princess if you're a female. Hey, I'm somebody. God made me somebody just because I'm his child. Wow. Bible says over, and we read it earlier, 1 John 3. I'll get there in a minute. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. I am a child of God. He said so. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world may not recognize who you are, what you are. The world may think you're a nobody. But that's not true. You're somebody when you have Jesus in your heart and life. Living the Christian life is not always easy, but it's always good. It's always a privilege. As a Christian, we don't finish the race the day we get saved. We still have to live our life on this earth until God takes us home. Let me illustrate a couple of things here quickly. Remember, some of you may remember, Reggie Jackson. He was a baseball player. He played for the Oakland A's and then he played for the New York Yankees. He was a pretty good baseball player. He could hit the ball a long way. And the Yankees were in the World Series one time, and Reggie Jackson came up to bat. The bases are loaded. It's well into the depth of the game. And I think the Yankees were behind. I'm not sure. But Reggie Jackson stepped up to the plate, and he hit that ball. I mean, he hit it so hard, it flew way over the fence. They call that in baseball a home run. Now, when you hit a home run, can anyone put you out? And if you know anything about baseball, you know no one can put you out. You're safe. But you don't get to score until you run to first, second, third base and touch home plate. And after you've touched all of them, then your score counts. Because the bases were loaded when Reggie Jackson hit that ball, that meant three guys on base and him makes four. He made 4 points for his team when he hit the ball. Could someone put him out by throwing the ball back onto the field from the stands and tagging him out before he reaches home plate? No. He's safe all the way. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're safe all the way. You get to be with God in heaven no matter what. You may stumble. You may fall. You may mess up so bad even after you ask Jesus into your heart. Guess what? Guess what? Doesn't matter, you're going to be safe because Jesus accepted you, and that never changes because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when we get to heaven, we've been saved. Our name is there no matter what. Now, not everybody believes that. Not every church denomination teaches that. Some think you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Once you're saved and you ask Jesus into your heart, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means I have some security and I get what he has promised. Now, E.V. Hill is a Baptist preacher. He happens to be a black Baptist preacher. He's a wonderful preacher. And at one time in his life, and I don't know where he lived, but he was living, and he hired a young lady to be the church secretary. Doing what Stephanie does, church secretary. He was paying her the huge sum of $2 a week, excuse me, an hour. $2 an hour for a church secretary. Would you like to work for that, Stephanie? You don't have to answer that. And he didn't know who the church secretary. He knew her name. Her name happened to be Natalie Cole. That's all he knew about her. One of his friends came by and said, Pastor, do you know who you hired as church secretary? He said, sure, her name's Natalie Cole. And he said, no, do you know who you hired as secretary? She's Nat King Cole's daughter. He said, Nat King Cole's daughter, he knew, like everybody else around that knows anything about music, that he was a well-known singer and he had lots of money because of his skills and singing and so forth. And he called his secretary and said, would you come into my office for a minute, please? And she came in and he said, are you Nat King Cole's daughter? Yes, sir. Why didn't you tell me? I didn't know it was a requirement to tell you. He said, well, And Nat King Cole had already passed at that point. And he said, didn't your dad leave you anything? And she said, oh, yes, he's left me lots of money. It's in the bank. And he said, well, you're working here for me? And he, you know, asking a question. And he said, I'm not paying you very much. I know that. He said, well, why? And she said, well, I can't get my father's money that he left me until I reach the ripe old age of 21. Oh, you can get it then. Yes, sir. But you can't touch it now. No, sir. It's laid up for me. It's stored there. See, God has made a promise. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he has promised, he said, and I'm coming back and I'll receive you unto myself so that where I am, there you may be also. Well, God's got some good things in store for you. He's got some good things in store for me. If you know him and you understand that God is good, and then you too can say, hey, God is good. And you can feel good about your relationship with him. Do you know him? Do you know that God is good by experience? If you don't, we would invite you this morning to know Christ as your Savior. If you know him and you realize that you've not been quite right with the Lord the way you need to, maybe you need to renew your commitment to him. We invite you to come and make that decision. But when God speaks to you, would you respond as he does? Let's have a word of prayer together, please. Father, thank you for the beauty of the day. Thank you for this church and the fellowship that we have together. Thank you for all the good things that you do for us, that you provide for us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us that we might honor and glorify you, because it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please. And as we stand together, if you need to respond to the Lord in some way, you come as we sing. He's good all the time. And all I can say after that is thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you. It's good to see you this morning. Brother Tim will not be back tonight. You're blessed or cursed, as however you want to look at it, one more time this evening. We'll be looking in Psalms 46 together tonight. I'm sorry. I cannot do what Tim does every Sunday night. Bless his heart. He can speak off the cuff and quote all kinds of verses of scripture that I just don't have at my disposal. My garbage can got full and stopped up, and I just can't get it out like he can. So let Brother Tim know And I know you have financially how much you appreciate him. And I know that he appreciates that. But let him know anyway how much you appreciate him verbally. That can be such an encouragement too. And, you know, I've said it the last time, I'll say it again this morning. Thank God for June and Carol and LaDonna and Charlotte and Dee Dee. Yes, and Patrick, and he's not here to hear me say that. Maybe he'll see it on the what you call it, the TV later. It's good to be with you. Hope to see you this evening. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. Father, you're so good to us. I cannot imagine life without you. Lord, would you bless each and every one present in a very special way, and may we give honor and glory and praise to the name of Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.